You're listening to the Whack Hoops Digest Podcast with Kyle McDonald.
Hey, everybody. It is another Whack Wednesday Whack Hoops Digest Podcast. Got CBU play-by-play. What do I want to say? I don't know the word that comes after the play-by-play. Is it broadcaster?
We'll go broadcaster.
Okay, yeah, we'll go broadcaster. Braden Bell with me here on the podcast. Braden, I appreciate you coming on. I know it's the afternoon. You got practice here later on today too, right?
Little bit of practice coming up. First off, Whack Wednesday. I like that. I haven't done that one yet. I use Whaction all the time. Whack Expansion was a thing and still is, obviously. And now we got Whack Wednesday. Wacky Wednesday. I'm in.
I'm going to attribute it a little bit to Greg Mitchell, who writes for Mid-Major Madness. He kind of coined that term. So I want to piggyback off of it a little bit. So let's talk about the Lancers. I was looking at the stats today before we got on here. CBU leads the WAC in scoring. They lead the WAC in three-point field goal percentage, third in the WAC in field goal percentage overall, lead the WAC in free throw percentage, second in rebounds, and they lead the WAC in assists per game. Where is all this coming from? I mean, I like a 3-3 team, you don't see that, you know, very often, but I mean, where is it all coming from?
Okay, so it's not just in the conference, though. I'll better you with national stats. 11th in points per game out of all Division I schools, 9th in three-pointers made per game, 10th in three-point percentage, 25th in total rebounds, and then 5th in all of college basketball in assists per game. So the numbers in the WAC are great, but it's even crazier when you look at it nationally. Out of 357 teams, they're top 25 in all those numbers and top 10 in most of those numbers that I just gave you as well. You bring up a good point that you normally wouldn't see such outrageously good stats from, you know, a team that is 3-3. But I think a lot of it has to do with two factors. One, this season is nuts. Sure. So we've played 13 games. Other teams have played 20. We've played 4 non-D1s. Other teams have played 0. That factors into it, of course. But a lot of it is due to just the way this team plays up and down the floor. They're going to take a lot of threes, but they're getting open shots and not just forcing threes. So, a big thing around the program and around the team this year is we're not a team that lives and dies by the three because we make so many threes. It isn't like it's a risk. We're making these at such a high clip, over 10 per game average this year. So, yeah, the numbers are awesome to look at, and the individual stats as well seep in there. Reed Nottage is top 10 nationally in three-point percentage. Gorjak Gax, second behind Fardaz Amak in terms of defensive rebounding percentage, and he's right there in rebounds per game as well nationally. I'll say as a broadcaster, it's really fun to watch. You know, you're not going to get that that UCLA style of basketball with Mick Cronin this year where it's 53-45. Sure. And it's great for the purist of the game, but you're not going to watch a CBU game this year and leave bored. You know, we're going to make a lot of shots. We're going to give up some points too, but it's going to be fun basketball.
Well, and think about this too. I mean, this is the other crazy thing. They only return technically 1.5 guys. I'm not going to say two because Ty Rowell – went down in December last year with an ACL injury. Trey Armstrong is really the only guy that played a lot last year. So that's what makes this even more impressive is that you have a bunch of new faces that are, like you said, they're exciting to watch. I watched the Long Beach State game from start to finish and just how easy it seemed offensively, whether it was Mark Carbone knocking down an open three or Reed Nottage getting to the rim or Gord, like it's amazing how good offensively they are.
Yeah, it's free flowing, Kyle, and it's not a whole lot of set offense. And you've noticed this probably through watching, but you know, for those of you listening right now that haven't watched the Lancers so far this year, it's not a lot of get across half court line, look over to the bench, get a play call. It's a lot of motion, constant movement. A lot of screens at the top of the key. They use Gorjak Gak a ton. And for a center, he touches the ball more than, you know, any center I've seen this year in terms of they just give him the ball at the top of the key. He has great vision. He can pass it. So it's almost like a 6'11 guard at the top of the key, has great vision, a lot of cutting to the basket. So that's mostly what it is. But yeah, you get back to your point of newcomers. I mean, you have Trey who averaged about 13 minutes per game. Then you have Reed Nottage as well, who averaged about 11. And people say, you know, the biggest jump is from your freshman to sophomore year. And certainly we've seen that this year, that their jumps have been huge. And it isn't really anything more to me than their confidence and their role. And they know that they're going to be out there for the majority, if not all the game, if they're staying out of foul trouble. So it's been great to see Trey thrive. And he had an incredible stretch at the beginning of conference play. And then obviously Reed winning conference player of the week this past week, and the great things he's done in his role. And then you mentioned Ty as well. And he's a guy who's been in this program since they were in Division II, is still somehow a junior. And if he uses this waiver year, he could be there all the way through the full 4-year transition. So he's like the new Perry Mason of college basketball in the WAC. He's going to be the guy that's seriously going to feel like he's been here for like 7 years. But he's that great leadership, that leadership beacon this team has. And he's almost like another Rick out there on the floor. His mannerisms, his leadership, and just his overall like competitive zeal, just a flat out competitive beast looking for wins and any way to pick up wins as well.
Well, and that's the tough thing. Like, since WAC Media Day, I've tried to follow Ty Rowell and see what he's doing with his team, because last year he kind of took a backseat to Milan Aqua, mm-hmm. the WAC Player of the Year, and then he got hurt in December, so we didn't see much of him in WAC play at all. So I didn't know much about him to begin with this season until Rick Croy started talking him up and so forth in preseason. Then he went with 32 in the season opener at USC.
And nine threes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an awesome story of perseverance, overcoming an ACL injury to do what he's doing. I mean, he leads the Lancers right now at 15.5 points per game. And like I said, he kind of is that floor leader that everything kind of runs through.
Yeah, and his story is cool, not only because of perseverance, but the odd way he had to get healthy. I mean, this is a guy that's from Canada, and during COVID went home. He was rehabbing in a garage because physical therapy centers weren't open. I mean, so this is truly like, you know, I obviously work for the school, so I'm not writing at local papers around here, but I'm wondering why this story hasn't been told more. Just hearing him talk about the process of struggling through rehab, doing it in a garage, not being around your teammates, wondering whether there's going to even be a season at the end of all your rehab. I mean, it's been so hard for him. And you mentioned that USC game. I mean, that was just magic. It was, you know, every athlete dreams of a night like that where everything seems to go your way. And I still have this written down on my call boards that I put out every game. I'll pull it up for you right now. Let's see. He had his career highs in that game in points, field goals made, field goals attempted, threes made, and three-pointers attempted. So, like, it was literally the perfect game for Ty. And he's played great since. I mean, it's not like that was a one-off. He scored 17-plus 8 different times this season. And, you know, that's why he's the leading scorer, obviously. But He's a really fun kid to watch, and he is the quarterback of this offense. The Lancer offense goes as far as Ty takes them, and he's a guy that's out there nearly every single minute, and he does a great job in his role.
I think I told Doc Wellman after their Saturday night game against Utah Valley, if Ty Rowell doesn't foul out with 5 minutes left, I think CBU wins that game. Because if you remember – Friday night, Reed Nottage fouled out with like 19 minutes to go. And then Saturday night, Ty Rowell fouls out with 5 minutes to go when it was a 1 or 2 point game at that point. You know, and ultimately I believe it was a 5-point loss. So it's crazy how impactful these guys are for the CBU team.
Yeah, and their impact certainly, you know, deserves a lot of credit. And a lot of it is due to their hard work, and a lot of it's due to necessity, to be frank with you. You know, we've been playing 7 guys deep, sometimes 8, and the guys coming off the bench, Mark Carbone is a sharpshooter, but he's not a point guard, and then you have some freshmen playing down low. So at the guard line, you know, you got to stay out of foul trouble. and you have to make an impact offensively, because that's just the way this roster is constructed this year, is that, you know, it isn't like last year's team where we saw, you know, nine guys getting minutes every night for CBU. It's a rotation of seven guys, eight if you're being really generous, but really making impacts on offense, you're relying on your starting five. And if Carbone gives you some points off the bench, that's great. But that's why you see all five starters average 10 plus points per game, because it's out of necessity.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's pretty wild how many minutes these guys play, but like you said, they all do what they're supposed to do. And if they stay out of foul trouble, extremely dangerous team to play.
No doubt. Yeah. And it's like, it's one of those teams that, you know, when I think of March Madness, and a lot of the times it seems like a team that's able to pull off not only an upset, but a couple, you got to be able to shoot the ball. And if you get hot at the right time, you can beat anyone. We saw that in the USC game. That USC team's no slouch. They're probably the most talented team in the Pac-12 this year.
Let's point out that USC beat, what was it, BYU by like 26 a couple days after that OT game. So, like you said, that USC team was no slouch.
No slouch at all. And they're up at the top of the Pac-12 right now, right there with UCLA. So, like, I'm not saying – you know, that we are USC by any standards, but that shows you that if you get hot and you shoot the ball well, which is not out of the question for this team, they do it almost every game. But if you take it to that next step, I mean, it's absolutely one of the most dangerous teams in the league. Like, I think of WAC Vegas, and if the Lancers get hot, and let's say Nottage, Armstrong, and Rowell are all shooting at a high clip, nobody wants to play them, because I don't know where you stop them. You know what I mean? And sure, that takes getting hot at the right time, but I mean, just the offense alone makes them very scary.
All right. Let's talk about the trip south, I guess south. I don't know. It's southeast technically for you guys this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
El Paso, where New Mexico State is going to play their home games, quote unquote, at Eastwood High School. So a high school gym. And in all reality, when you saw the pictures of that high school gym, did you think it was a high school gym?
No. Yeah. And I got to be honest, I got leaked photos before it was made public of where they were playing. And I'm pumped. I really am. Like, it's cool. The whole side of that gym is like glass. And I think that's a pretty cool little feature. And the colored seats. Yeah, it's definitely not a gym. I'd call it a mini arena is what I'm calling it. Because that place is nice. I'm excited.
Well, and it's got stadium seating too. It's not the bench seating either. It's actual stadium seating. So everybody gets their own individual seats. I believe they had to add three-point line and shot clocks. But either way, I mean, what do you think? Obviously, we haven't seen New Mexico State play a lot. We only got really this GCU series this last weekend when they got swept. What do you think of the Aggies as, you know, the Lancers prepare? I mean, and are they ready for the fact that maybe the Aggies have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after last weekend?
I'm speaking for myself here, and so this is not the opinion of the program, but I personally was hoping New Mexico State would win both games last weekend. I didn't want to see New Mexico State coming off of two losses personally. But, I think the standard New Mexico State has created over the past decade in this conference, long before I got here to CBU, but just knowing what they've done, every team in the WAC, it's like in basketball during the Warriors dynasty, or, you know, during college football, if you play Alabama, you're going to give them your best shot. And New Mexico State knows they're going to get the opponent's best shot. So yeah, there's extra excitement leading up to this. Everyone's super excited to get back out there, try to get the bad taste out of their mouths of last week's loss to Dixie State on Saturday, and not only try to bounce back in winning fashion, but to do it against the team that's dominated the league for a long time. So, you know, it's excitement, it's anticipation. There's some uncertainty, obviously, with the weird gym and all of that, but there's uncertainty leading into every game this year, so I don't really think that's going to play too much of a factor. It'll be just as much of a factor for New Mexico State as it is for CBU, because they've never played a game there either, obviously. But, yeah, certainly, it's like when you get to play the best, that's what you want as a competitor, and you get a sense, definitely, through the coaching staff and the players, that everyone's really excited for this weekend.
Have Have you gotten the feeling that the guys are trying to forget last year as well with their trip to Las Cruces? I mean, that was a even Chris Jan said it was a bit of a surprise at what happened in that game last year. Has there been any talk of that, or is it just kind of leave that alone, throw that in the garbage, don't even remember it, and move on, and let's get ready for this weekend?
Well, you brought it up earlier. It's hard to bring things that happened even last year up because it's almost a brand new team. You know, there's three guys on the roster that were there on the road last year, and yeah, that was not a good night for this program by any stretch, but there were only three guys there. Only two of them, actually, there were only two guys there because Ty didn't travel with us because he was hurt. So Reed Dottage and Trey Armstrong were the only two guys there, and the coaching staff, obviously. But it's like, to me, I don't think you even need to bring that up. The matchup sells itself. You know, you're playing the role of David, and I hate this. It's a conference basketball game. It's a little too dramatic. But you're really playing the role of David versus the Goliath of the WAC, and it's been that way for the past 10 years. I personally think that New Mexico State, after they lost to CBU and CBU's gym on the first game as a WAC member, that has played a factor into this matchup for the past 2 years. I think that really, really fired up New Mexico State. And it obviously gave CBU a jolt of energy unlike any other conference win could ever give you. So certainly I think there's still a little extra juice in this matchup. And obviously you never want to get ran out of a gym by 30, like what happened last year at New Mexico State. But just because it is a brand new roster, I don't think that matchup specifically is what's driving the motivation factor. I think it's more of, like I said, my last answer is that, you know, this is the gold standard and you want to see how you fare against the teams that are supposed to be the best in this conference. And certainly New Mexico State and then GCU are up there at the top.
Just one last question. Since we saw the news yesterday, what are your feelings on EA Sports, the EA Sports announcement bringing college football back? I can't say NCAA because I think they're trying to kind of get away from being labeled with that. I know I sat here for like 3 hours yesterday playing my old NCAA football game on my Xbox. So what are your feelings on that announcement?
Well, first off, I'm very jealous that you have the old NCAA game. I tried to dust off my old PlayStation 3 this summer during peak quarantine, and I got the yellow blinking light of death. It is gone. It is outsourced. It is history. So then I immediately, you know, go to eBay or wherever, and I'm looking up prices, and it's like they charge like $200 for NCAA 14. I wonder if the market on that will actually go down now. I just thought of that for the first time. But to answer your question, my whole day yesterday was made, and I woke up to the news. So I wake up to a whole bunch of text messages from friends from college and things like that saying, dude, can you believe it? Because that's what we would play all the time in school. I can't wait. And I know it's going to be a couple more years, but my work productivity and social productivity will go down when that is released. I will be playing that an ungodly amount, but it's just going to happen. So, yeah, I'm so excited. So excited. One more thing, Kyle, before we go off here. And if you can preface this in the tweet when this is released. I whenever we go to a road city that's new to me, I always try to find the best food spots. El Paso is going to be new to me. And I know it's not the home of Aggie Nation, but you have so many great Aggie followers that you interact with so often. It's close enough to Las Cruces. I need to know the best spots for a meal. I'm going to be there from Thursday night through Sunday morning. I got to know where I need to go in El Paso.
I know they got,
I know they got some Tex-Mex. I know that's going to be solid. Yeah. So I need the El Paso restaurant guide, and nobody can push the message out better to Aggie Nation than you. So I need your help on that.
I will put that out there. That might create more listeners as they have to listen to the end of it.
Hey, us media guys, we get it. I waited till the very end to bring that up because now they have to listen through all of the Lancer talk all the way. But yeah, I need some good food there in El Paso this weekend.
Well, believe me, I was in Phoenix last weekend for that Mexico State Grand Canyon. So My wife's best friend and her husband live there, and we told them we have to go places where we don't have up here in Utah.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm going to Edinburgh this weekend for the UTRGV GCU series. And I've already reached out to people. Where can I go eat? What's good here? And I believe I'm going to be making a trip to South Padre Island on Saturday morning to get some food and taking the beach. So, yes, I feel you on those things. So I will put that out there for sure.
They're important factors that people don't think about enough when you're living out on the road. You gotta get the local eats, and I'm excited to experience everything that is El Paso and the high school arena. We're gonna call it an arena this weekend.
We might have to make that another segment of the podcast. Best eats in the towns of WAC schools.
I will contribute to that anytime. We can make that a new segment, especially next year with the Texas Four coming in. I'm good barbecue. That's one of the first things I thought of with the expansion was we just gained a lot of barbecue and my waistline is going to be furious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Braden, that's Braden Bell at Braden Bell PXP on Twitter. Give him a follow. He'll be on the call this weekend. California Baptist travels in New Mexico State. Playing at Eastwood High School in El Paso, Texas. Braden, thanks again for coming on, and hope you're able to find a good place to eat.
Me too, man. It's always a pleasure coming on. Thanks for having me.